webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 17th, 2011, the only day after Michael L. Williams' 59th birthday in the history of the world. The only one. 1 minute after 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Where is your accuser?
I believe the world is one. I'm not a Christian. I believe the battle's won. I'm not. I am not. And I believe the kingdom's come. I'm not a Christian. One light lit up everyone. I'm not. I am not a Christian. Yeah. Well, I am not. I see the law taken away. I am not a Christian. I see there's no more price to pay. I am not, I am not. And I can see we're all okay. I'm not a Christian. There is no coming judgment day. I am not, I am not a Christian. Ain't that good news? Well, that's good news. I'm not, I am not, I am not. I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian. Well, I don't buy what you're trying to sell. I am not a Christian. I don't believe the devil's well. I am not, I am not, I don't believe there is a hell. I am not a Christian, and I don't believe in sin as well. I am not a Christian. Ain't that good news? Now that's good news. I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian. Oh, I believe the two agreed. I am not a Christian. It ended all religious need. I am not, I am not. And I believe the world's redeemed. I'm not a Christian. Oh, and I am sure that love will lead once we'll stop trying to be Christians.
Yeah!
That's good news. Ain't that good news? I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian. It's all good news. I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian. It's all good news. It's all good news. I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian.
All right, that'll do it for tonight's Gospel Revolution webcast. Hope you enjoyed it. That says it all, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the Gospel Revolution Summit, Kate Benham and the Revolutionary Choir from Houston, Texas. And now, without any further ado, let us go to the birthday boy in the great city of Houston. Please welcome the Grand Poobah, the Unteacher, the False Christ, the President, the Founder, of the Gospel Revolution. He's 59 years old in a day. Please welcome online Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
If there's anything that in the Gospel Revolution we are not short of, it is titles.
Yes, indeed. Especially.
Take as many as you want.
That's right.
Make up as many as you want. You can have them all.
You can have them all. We have the Josh Freak. We have God's Most Favored. I want the title of Jesus Christ. How about that? We are equal, ladies and gentlemen, with the Lord. That is the good news. We are not Christians.
Yeah.
We're happy to report that. And we're very happy to report that if you are listening live at 5 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the USA, that means we are requesting that you call. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call in the studio of the Bay of the Holy Spirit at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260, outside Canada and the U.S. of A. Give us a call at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. It's a special night. We are celebrating, Michael, your 59th celebration of your birth. And,
wow.
I mean, you're in your 60th year now. You've been saying you've been 60 years old for about 4 years now. I think after you turned 55, you decided you were going to round it up for some unbelievable reason.
Round it up.
So, congratulations.
Head on and embrace it.
It's been a hell of a 59 years. I'll say that for you.
Well, thank you so much. This is a surprise, actually, and it has been an eventful 59 years, to say the least. I think the crowning moment for me so far in those 59 years actually was our little summit, and just everybody sitting around and singing that beautiful little song of Kate's and singing along with Kate here right in my living room, all the way from Australia and folks from several different states here. We had to keep it small because it was just a get-together here in my living room. But I tell you, having that moment in time where that we were able to have everybody here and to see the reality that the gospel has progressed to a point where people are so confident in the gospel that they have the ability to say that they are not Christians, in fact. I think that's a very powerful thing to have happened to any human being on the face of this earth, to say that you embrace the gospel, the truth of the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace, and resoundingly reject the basic tenets of the religion called Christianity. So it's been an amazing 59 years so far, and I'm looking forward to see whatever the balance of this is, to see what this might be like. I've lived 59 years, and I think that I can look forward to an even more eventful, or at least equally eventful, rest of this life, and especially where the gospel is concerned. I could go and just be a happy man any place in the world right now. The rest of this for me is just icing on the cake. We plodded our way through the maze and the pain and the agony of Christianity, and many of us have escaped clean and really victoriously into the gospel, and wrapped up, as Kate says in one of her songs, wrapped in this glorious grace, having never been here before, and it is an amazing event. So thank you so much.
Speaking of icing on the cake, have you had any cake yet?
You know, I had cake at the restaurant last night. It was a, oh my gosh, it was so good. It was cake and some kind of a fruit type cake with ice cream on top. And oh my goodness, yes, it was wonderful. It was, and then I had...
Do you see how I just let the fruit cake comment just pass without comment? I'm maturing so nicely.
Yeah.
This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. That's the birthday boy, Mike Williams, online as well. It's a special night. We want to hear your birthday greetings. If you do have comments or questions regarding the gospel, of course we want to hear those too. But for all you revolutionaries that have been touched by Michael's life, we do want to hear from you tonight. Folks that were on the, at the summit or not, we want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260, or 813-425-5773. That's the direct line for folks around the globe who may be listening live. 813-425-5773. You know, I introed that song by hearkening back to when they used to tell you the time on television. You know, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And I said, do you know where your accuser is? And, of course, in Kate's song, which, by the way, is number one on the hit parade of the gospel revolution right now, with a bullet, if it's possible.
Yes.
The accuser of the brethren, of course, is the devil. And Kate answers the question and says, I believe the devil's not well. I am not a Christian. We know that the devil, whatever the devil was and whatever the devil is now, his effect, Michael, has been completely and utterly defeated and eliminated from people's life in the earth. And the shame of it is that we give that entity way too much credit is an understatement.
We give the devil way too much credit, and we also, there's another accuser of the brethren according to Jesus, and I think that we have not realized the total defeat of, or should I say fulfillment of all of that accuser's message. And Jesus said, you have one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you put your trust. So, you know, the power of the gospel doesn't just release you from the accuser as far as the devil is concerned. It also releases you from the accuser, which is Moses, the law, which accused all of us. You know, just like the Post was talking about, everybody wants to eliminate their particular human characteristic as that it never was really a sin, such as homosexuality in my own case and several others.
Several others? Well, we're gonna talk about that as the webcast, because that is actually the topic of the webcast tonight. We're gonna get into that, but we are gonna take time now to welcome our first greeter for Michael's birthday online. Let us go to the maestro of the Gospel Revolution, the senior correspondent from Cincinnati, Ohio. Please welcome online Mr. Greg Amberby. Gregory!
How's it going, guys?
We are having a wonderful evening. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Glenn asked me earlier if I could do a Beatles birthday song for Mike, and I said, how about I do the official Fraser River birthday song that we sing for people to come out to hear the band if it happens to be their birthday?
Right. Now, this is now of course, the Fraser River Band is the band that Greg plays in frequently, certainly at least weekly.
If you want to see us on, go to YouTube and put in Fraser River Last Request or Fraser River Tangled Up in Texas, and you can see some videos we made back in the day. Awesome. Let me put my speakerphone on. I'm going to sing a song to Mike here.
Okay, so he's opted to go with a Fraser River rendition of the birthday song versus the Beatles, which we're more than happy to hear.
You know?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Michael, happy birthday to you, hope you get some tonight, hope you get some tonight, hope you get some cake and ice cream, happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Oh. Yes, he had some fruitcake and ice cream last night, so we didn't.
Well, you are what you eat.
Well, that's right. You've been waiting for that all ever since we said it, haven't you?
So,
Greg, thank you so much, Greg. That was awesome.
So,
you're welcome.
So, of course, Gregory, being a musician, I know you're appreciating hearing Kate Benham's music, and
it's been stuck in my head for a week, and that's okay. a catchy little ditty.
It is a catchy little ditty, isn't it?
Yes.
And we're going to enjoy some more of Kate's music later on in the webcast. Something that you were sharing with me, Greg, earlier, and I think the beautiful humans would be interested in, is both personally and, of course, on Facebook, how comfortable you are getting at confronting Christian doctrine and your Christian friends.
Yeah, and I'm not so much confronting my Christian friends as confronting the doctrine. It was an interesting one yesterday. I was reading, one of my friends had posted something about something in Deuteronomy 22, which is just a horrendous list of rules under the law that had to do with if a woman was raped, really misogynistic type rules. I mean, for instance, in Deuteronomy 22, you can go read this yourself. If a girl was raped and she was in the city where there were other people around and nobody heard her cry for help, they assumed she didn't cry for help, and so they would stone her as well as the rapist.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I was just disgusted by that whole thing. And I posted something about that on Facebook, and one of my Christian friends said that, well, that was the law of man. That wasn't the law of God. And I said, well, you guys in your doctrine of faith, your statement of faith, you back up a few chapters and use Deuteronomy and Leviticus to say that homosexuality is worthy of being, you know, somebody being stoned to death or whatever. And I said, so I see the same type, you know, I equate the two, and I say they're both the law of God, and everybody was condemned, and the whole thing was a big mess, and we needed Jesus to fulfill it and redeem us from it. And instead, what they've done is they've picked out the ones that are culturally offensive, like this thing in Deuteronomy 22. There's also a bunch of stuff about if a girl's not a virgin and they take the cloth from when she has sex the first time and there's no blood on it, the guy can basically get out of the marriage. It was just a bunch of crazy old, you know, traditions from the past, but that was part of the Jewish law. And you know, as offensive as that stuff is today, for us to go back and take rules about homosexuality and say, well, those apply, but these other things don't apply, that's just hypocritical. And I'm just pointing out to people that it's all one big thing. And Jesus said, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of all.
Well, and the other thing, too, that people do on the other side of the argument, Michael, is the title and the theme of tonight's webcast, which is, thank God homosexuals were condemned. What people who are pro-gay do a lot of times is they want to eliminate those verses in the law that clearly condemned homosexuality. And we make the point in the e-newsletter tonight that it is because not only homosexuals, but pretty much every human emotion, every human action, every human endeavor was condemned by God in the law. That qualifies us, that condemnation qualifies humanity for redemption. You want to be in that list. You want to be in that number, beautiful humans. We had an email response to the e-newsletter today from Deborah Masters, and she said that the way the title of this sounds is very off-putting to those of us who are standing against the condemnation of gay people, and so many of us who might post this link and invite people to it are hesitating to do so. And then Chris Lavario chimed in with agreeing with Deborah. He said, I simply cannot post a link to this with it worded this way. And our response was, well, you guys, you can change the title, but it's simply the truth. God did condemn homosexuals, heterosexuals, and everyone else. This is why redemption is good for everyone. We must stop trying to manipulate the scriptures. What are you doing, Greg?
I'm sorry, I'm making some tea. I think I'm finished. I'm ready to hang up and listen to your reply.
All right. Thanks for calling. Go have your tea. Put some honey.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Put some honey in it.
Thanks.
All right. Greg's going to go have some tea and honey now. We must stop trying to manipulate the scriptures to fit our position, or we're just as guilty as the people who are taking those particular scriptures, Michael, out of context.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm reminded that Jesus talking about those who were not offended, who would not be offended in him. And, you know, the only way that you can not be offended in Jesus, there's this, when you've established a pro and a con, when you've established a I'm for this and against that, and you've developed your argument, the political posturing, even in subjects like this, begin to set in, and you cannot change your message. Because to change your message, to say, oh, now we learned this or now we understand that, is to say you were wrong about your position, which is a sad state of affairs in America today in our politics. So there's this political issue of gay rights, which I understand. But when you come down to the facts of the truth of the gospel, which one is more important? The political agenda of the gay rights movement or the truth of the gospel? And I'll go with the truth of the gospel every time because of the political agenda, which I agree with. Don't get me wrong. I agree with the political agenda as far as equality is concerned. But it doesn't mean that we can't adjust our thinking to think a little higher or to think differently along the way. And the fact is that the self-righteousness that runs so deeply inside Christianity runs very deeply inside the gay community also.
Inside the Christian gay community who want to condemn people like the Pat Robertsons and the Jerry Falwells of the world and that ilk who condemn homosexuality, they want to send them to hell. Because in their opinion, they are not manifesting the love of Christ
right.
to their fellow human beings.
Yeah, so there's got to be an equality that surpasses sexuality and political positions and everything else. So all we're saying is that there is an equality that exists, and it is called righteousness, and it's called being one in God, in Christ, the entire planet, believer, unbeliever, Buddhist, Hindu, Christian, atheist, it doesn't make any difference. It cannot take away from the work of Christ. But to arrive at that point, you cannot take the condemnation of one group out of God's law and keep the full revelation of the freedom of the entire human race on this side of the cross and keep that revelation intact. You cannot do that. So I understand why people say, oh, well, this would be offensive. Well, it's offensive only because of our ignorance of the truth.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's exactly right.
Rejoice.
Right. It should be just thrilling to people who are supportive of gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender people that they are just as condemned as the heterosexuals or the woman that was raped that nobody heard her crying for rape or the guy
Absolutely.
Who had sex with his wife too close to her menstrual cycle or the children that were disobedient to the parent or the people that ate shrimp or lobster or had a pig roast. Now, see, the Christianity that fragments the law, Yeshua said that I have not come to fragment the law. He came to keep the law intact. That's what we are proponents of, folks. We honor the law because we understand the intent of the law. The law, Michael, was given to the children of Israel to bring them to an absolute state of condemnation, both in actuality and in practice. And it worked really, really good.
You know, the thing of it is that, you know, I found justification through the work of the cross. I don't need to justify myself. I don't need an excuse for being who I am and what I am. I do not need to excuse God's law to be who I am and what I am. In fact, I rejoice. I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. I rejoice when I find that that homosexuality made it into the list, and that it's an abomination in the sight of God. The more strongly I was condemned based on the revelation of the gospel, is more strongly that I can know that I'm redeemed. Unless you know you were thoroughly condemned, you can't know you were thoroughly redeemed. So to remove any human activity, I absolutely, you see, I got to tell you, people who eat pork are an abomination to God.
Yes, they are. Apart from Christ, they are if you go to a barbecue joint and if you enjoy some ribs like I did tonight that Carla made, you are absolutely as equal an abomination to God as a gay or lesbian person.
Unclean. Absolutely
filthy,
unclean.
Filthy, unclean.
Forbidden by the law. And so, you see, we've got to take the personal offense out of this so that we can receive the greater truth. See, here's the thing. I'm not out just for the political agenda of the gay community. I'm out to see the entire world freed from this heinous religion of Christianity, first and foremost on my agenda, and also to introduce the rest of the world to the power of the gospel, the absolute equality of the entire human race. But we cannot be equally righteous unless we are equally condemned. So we cannot remove our condemnation. Stop. I just don't have any patience for it. Of all the people, you have to understand. I understand. I know what it's like to stand in that position of the condemned in society, in my own family, to stand there with brothers and sisters and close family members, to stand in that position.
Children.
Of condemned.
Your children.
Absolutely. And so I understand the plight, but you see, we can't settle for a secondary answer to get to the primary problem, because homosexuality is a secondary issue compared to the big problem, and the big problem is self-righteousness. And self-righteousness stinks, whether it's in the gay community or deeply embedded in Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson's life. It makes no difference. It is all just filthy. It's all stinks. It's all self-righteousness. It's all ungodliness. It was all condemned. It was all punished in the cross of Jesus Christ, and we've all been made righteous before God. So eat shrimp, whatever it is that you want to do, but rejoice in the fact that under the law, when you ate shrimp, you were condemned, and enjoy your shrimp.
Or we could say it this way: if you choose to eat a biblical diet, which you can't, of course, because it cannot be biblically blessed in the way that it was. But let's say that you just make your best effort. You best not feel self-righteous and superior to folks that are going to Red Lobster and eating the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet. Let us also rehearse, folks, the fact that Yeshua took it a step further and actually articulated perfectly the spirit of the law when he said, if you've ever even had your mouth water by smelling that lobster and drawn butter, if you thought about eating shellfish, you are guilty of breaking God's law, every bit as guilty as Lady Gaga. But the good news, and oh, ain't that good news, that at the cross, we didn't lay our sin down. He took it from us.
Absolutely.
He took our unrighteousness. He took it upon himself, and he took the law. Let us also remember that the law was only given to Israel. It was never given to the Gentile. But regardless of how one looks at the sin of Adam, that sin of unbelief that God chose to impute unrighteousness to the entire human race after the Garden of Eden, that after that, God giving the law to Israel, Yeshua took it all, Michael. There is no more, as Kate sang so magnificently, there is no coming judgment day. Judgment day happened at Golgotha over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Ain't that good news? Ain't that good news? This is Glenn Klein online. We've got some special guests online. We're going to get to them as we are celebrating Mike's 59th birthday. We want to hear from you tonight, as we hope we will. And we're just about halfway through the program, and the phones are ringing, and we got people online. We got some exciting stuff to get to, and we will do all of that right here when we come back on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Thanks, Robert Moore, and everything is available at gospelrevolution.com, including that teaching. Michael, you talked about earlier about your 59 years and the pain and the heinous suffering that our Christian experience brought. But the good news, to coin a phrase, is that we have discovered, and we can highly recommend the gospel, that it has prepared the heart to endure loss and suffering without question.
Yes, and to recover from it.
And to recover from it.
That is the most powerful thing. The gospel allows you to step back and observe life. When you're in the middle of the pain, experiencing the pain, you are convinced that the pain will never go away. But the fact of it is, from the position of the observer, everybody knows that the pain will go away. The wonderful thing about the gospel is it gives you the opportunity to stand back and look at the facts and realize that this is going to go away and that your heart will recover regardless of how difficult the matter is. And the awesome thing about being in the gospel is that you can, nobody's going to go around saying, "Oh man, you need to just get over it." Now, after a while, somebody might say that to you, but the fact of it is, when you're grieving, people are going to grieve with you. When you suffer loss, they will experience the loss with you. But the fact is that you can recover. The heart can recover. It will recover.
And what I was going to say, in the gospel revolution especially, there is going to be zero aspersions as to why the suffering came upon you. There is
Absolutely.
None of that. It was one of the most wonderful comments coming out of the summit, where people were just, I remember Chris Zimbalin was talking about how wonderful it is and was to be in a room full of people where there was zero judgment. There was zero pigeonholing. It's really quite an experience, folks, to spend a weekend with 20 people who've been apprehended by the gospel. This is Glenn Klein online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We are celebrating the 59th birthday of Michael Williams. We've got some special callers online. And speaking of the summit, we want to go now, not very far from this studio here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit, to Riverview, Florida. The head cheerleader and videographer of the Gospel Revolution, making her maiden voyage on the webcast. Please welcome online Carla Barton. Carla!
Hi, Michael. Happy birthday.
Hey, Carla. Thank you, hon, so much. It's so good to hear your voice.
I know. I'm kind of tripping out here. Greg Ambergy beat me to singing you a happy birthday song.
Well, I think you could sing happy birthday in Tagalog.
We can do another one.
Yeah.
Okay. Maligayang bati, maligayang bati, maligayang, maligayang, maligayang bati. Yeah. Do you want me to translate that in English?
Yes, yeah. I think we got that figured out, Dolly. I think we got that figured out.
Okay.
Well, and of course, Tagalog is
one
of the native tongues of the Philippines. So, and you know, honey, you're being heard in the Philippines as we speak. You realize that, right?
Uh-oh.
You're not the only Filipina gospel revolutionary.
I know. But I'll see my English translation if you don't mind.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Happy birthday, Grand Pooba. Happy birthday, Grand Pooba. Happy birthday, you beautiful, handsome, who loves Lady Gaga and loves Ray Ray Joe, you. Happy birthday, Michael Williams.
Yay! That's awesome.
Carla. Thank you, Carla.
That's beautiful, baby.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
And thank you for everything that you did with the YouTube and with the Gospel Revolution Summit video. We couldn't have done it without you. And, you know, so many people behind the scenes, Michael, are doing things and do things for the Gospel Revolution. Sometimes people don't realize how many people are actually involved.
It's a small army out there, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's
my pleasure.
Thanks, baby.
Thank you, Carla.
All right, honey. I'm going to get that tea and honey ready. You hear Ambergris was getting some tea and honey ready?
I know. I kind of teased him about that on Facebook. It's like, did you just... Are you just making tea on air while you're on air?
he was dual tasking.
How dare he?
All right, Dahlia. We'll see you in a little bit. I love you, and thanks for calling.
Love you, Carla.
Love you.
See you soon. There's Carla Barton, the head cheerleader of the Gospel Revolution. And she, by the way, she's given some pretty good titles herself. She gave Mary Keller her title of the backup editor of the Gospel Revolution. Mary, of course, was in attendance at the Gospel Revolution Summit, and it was such a great mixture of people, Michael, just from every background, every age range, and what a time.
No doubt. It was, I'm telling you, this living room, dining room is still in the afterglow of that meeting, and we're already looking forward to doing something else again of like nature.
Oh my God! I just realized something. I dreamt last night that you called me and said we're doing it 2 weeks from Thursday.
Why not?
And I was like, okay, Mikey, it's your birthday.
It's your birthday. You can have what you want to.
It is Mike Williams' 59th birthday. We're taking the special calls. The line is open for you now at 1-800-436-3260. We want to hear your birthday greetings for Mike. 800-436-3260. If you're listening outside the U.S., you can call, and Canada for that matter, you can call us at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Sean is making some sort of very obscene gesture, but I don't think that that's a birthday greeting for Michael. And also, folks, and obviously most of you guys are listening on the archive, you can send any greeting you want to webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And we've got a lot of emails. We've got a Jackie Barnard poem, and whether we have time for it or not, we will eventually have another email extravaganza. But any birthday greetings, of course, will be immediately forwarded on to Michael at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And now let us go to that place that is still in the afterglow. Please welcome online. We've been enjoying not only her music but her company the last couple of weeks since she got to the States. Please welcome the lyricist of the Gospel Revolution, Ms. Kate Benham. Kate!
Hey, how you going, Glenn? Nice to hear you again.
Nice to be heard, Kate. How are you?
Are you
enjoying Michael's birthday?
I'm loving it. I was there on the actual day yesterday, so I had a great day with Michael. I was just so glad I could be there to enjoy it with him.
You know,
absolutely.
Kate is getting ready to go to Nashville to record her latest album, and we're going to talk about that. But this afternoon, the E! Newsletter that went out had a comment. We were talking about the issue of homosexuality, and these two comments came from guys, from pastors or ministers, one who has a radio show, one who's been a guest on this radio program before, and it started out with a question or a comment on his Facebook, which said, I am not saying that there are no biblical arguments to be made against homosexuality, but I think they are sufficiently weak and that it is worth the pause to consider whether God is truly being glorified in homosexuality's condemnation. I'm going to read the response to that, but Michael, as much as we love this dear man, he don't get it.
No.
First of all, there are no biblical arguments to be made against homosexuality, and that they, but they are sufficiently weak. They aren't sufficiently weak at all. They're completely. You are supposed to be put to death. That's not weak at all.
No, it isn't, and it is sufficient in its condemnation. I am delighted in its sufficiency of its condemnation, because I now get to rejoice in the Scripture's sufficiency through the what was prophesied that Jesus would do, who has done so, has redeemed all of us from the law and lifted us all out from under that, regardless as to whether the law was against us or not. But there is no one on the face of this earth that the law of God was not against. And the blood of Jesus has removed us from underneath the weight of that law, and the blinding effect that it has into being able to see each other for who we are and what we are. And that is that we're one in Christ. It's a very powerful thing.
And so here is one of the minister's responses to that post. He said, actually, there is no biblical argument against homosexuality, as God doesn't look to the outward man, but the inward man. And the potter has power over the clay. And everything that God has made is never to be called uncommon. This guy doesn't get it either.
No, it's wonderful to be gracious, but it's better to understand grace.
But look, write that down. Jeff Robertson, write that down for worth quoting. It is wonderful to be gracious, but it is better to understand grace.
Yes, and we appreciate all graciousness, but please understand the graciousness of man does not equal the righteousness of God. The grace of God does equal the righteousness of God, and the graciousness of man does not equate to the righteousness of God. So I appreciate that. You know, it's wonderful to hear people being gracious, but we really should not settle for graciousness in the presence of the grace of God. It is a settling for something less, to settle for the attitude of a man rather than the preordained, pre-established grace of God that would bring righteousness to this planet through the power of the cross, and declare peace with all human beings and declare all to be righteous.
No doubt. And so, rarely does Michael have knowledge of exactly what's going to be in the E! Newsletter. And certainly Kate did not know. The E! Newsletter comes out this afternoon. I talked to Michael later in the afternoon, and he said, wait till you hear the song that Kate wants to sing tonight on the webcast. Folks, sit up, pay attention, and listen to this song. This, so many times things happen literally just by coincidence. Incredible coincidence. This theme and the words of this song are so appropriate for what we're talking about now, the understanding of the intent and the meaning and the purpose of God's law. Kate Benham.
Do you understand that even if one is lost, then I lose? And so that's why I never gave the human race the right to choose. You were never meant to find the right path on your own. 'Cause I'm the truth and way, and I brought everybody home. 'Cause in matters of eternity, I hardened your heart so none would believe, and I blinded your eyes so you could not see. Oh, for the joy set before me, I want you to see what the law was given for. Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. You know I couldn't risk you spoiling the plan. Not when this global rescue mission rested on just one man. Bringing a punishment that no sin could avoid. And all would be fulfilled when God's image was destroyed. So as I drove the nails in my feet and hands and lifted me up, I drew every man with the entire world in unbelief. God was preparing to express his grief. So when you were all safely tucked in me, the judgment of God came down on that tree. And all the wrath of an angry God flooded my being as I shed my blood. Do you see now what the law was given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. Thick darkness fell mid-afternoon, as the light of the world would be crowned King of Glory soon. Oh, what a picture for all the world to see. Oh, the last Adam reconciling the first Adam's unbelief. And as I opened my mouth with my final breath, a voice like thunder clapped from my chest, the sound of all humanity roaring like a lion and shouting through me. Oh, just three little words, and the power of that statement shook the earth as one new man was being birthed, and I was creating new heavens and earth. Do you see now what the law was given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. Since that day there's none accusing you, but the religion bearing my name is just so far from the truth. You are humanity that never was before. You are mankind that's never sinned, 'cause you've never been under the law. But Christianity lied to you, said you're justified by the things you do. It's saying there's a judgment coming soon, so it's judging the work of Calvary too. It's saying my blood wasn't good enough. It's saying I'm coming back to clean up. It's saying it's just like it was before. It's saying I didn't fulfill the law. Well, I got some very good news. The law and the Psalms and the prophets too, they speak about me, not about you. The things you've been told are just not true. Do you see now? Is it starting to make sense? You've been taught you're a sinner when you've always been righteous. Do you see now what the law is given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all.
Yay.
Michael.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm sure that not just you, but a lot of our listeners are having a moment right now. The power of that song, the revelation, the entire gospel, which it doesn't take a lot to have the entire gospel in one song, considering the fractal nature of truth. And this song did capture a fractal of the gospel and in its entirety, in its own way. Just one little song reveals the entire gospel. And that really is just the nature of the gospel. The understanding why God gave his law is one of the most magnificent understandings that this planet will ever. In fact, it is the hurdle. The hurdle to getting to the truth of the gospel is understanding what the law was given for.
Kate, first of all, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, sweetie.
For releasing your gift and sharing it with the world. Do you remember when you understood this?
When I first understood about the law, can't remember specifically when, but I just think it's one of those hurdles that people who've been in a religious mindset will fight against you with, and they'll keep bringing up the Old Testament and they'll keep bringing up the law, and not one jot or tittle will pass away until all of everything's been fulfilled, and then if you can show them everything was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, he even said, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets speak of me. I just thought this would be a significant thing to show, this is why he gave the law. It just was such a hurdle to me to realize, and I just wanted to put it in a song because that's where all the questions come from. That's what we're fighting against. The accuser is Moses. You're absolutely right. I have that quote, I guess, in another one of my songs, which is called The 2K Day, meaning it's been 2 millennium since we've been in this one glorious day of the Lord so far, and it's going to go on and on for eternity. But what do I say there? Her accuser's not a demon with horns. It's just two rocks with 10 commandments on. They've been messing with her brain. Now she's insane. That's the words of the song. It's Moses is the accuser. I don't know if that's what they're talking about when they talk about Satan and the devil, but there's that law that constantly accuses us, and that it was so many laws, not just 10. So I think that's an enormous hurdle. If we can get that across to humanity in some little way, and if this can keep rolling along through the generations, I'm sure it will have an effect. So I want to be part of that.
Yes, you're a huge part of it, and so appreciate it. I think one of the most rewarding things, Michael, is that we've been teaching this on the webcast and talking about it now for 6 years. This is how we met Kate. And
that's
when
right.
You hear not only so beautifully articulated, but so beautifully sung the truth of this gospel, it can't help but save your soul.
Yeah, and let me be as bold as to say to you what I told Kate when I heard this song. This could be, as far as my knowledge takes me, it could very possibly be the very first true gospel song that's ever been published on earth. Now that's saying a lot, but you see, when the gospel, it's nice to sing about the gospel, but until you have the comparative ability to understand the law, the gospel has no strength unless the law is understood. I hope to communicate that as well as Kate has in her song, in the teachings, because, this is amazing. I hope that everyone who is listening in the Gospel Revolution realizes there truly is a revolution taking place. And yes, and as small a meeting as less than 20 people here in my living room, but this is so powerful. Speaking words with clarity, singing words with clarity that have never been put all together in one piece, as far as I know, before. We look and we see fragments of it all the way into the past. We see more of it immediately after the cross than we see now, as far as the work of the cross and its understanding of its finality and its completion. We see history reveals it more many decades ago, not just decades, but centuries ago.
Millennia ago.
And yes, and now we have come to a point to where that not only is this understanding coming to people's hearts around this planet, but we have the ability to communicate. And I'm excited. I truly believe this gospel. I believe it is the truth. Then people say, "Well, I believe that's your truth, and this is my truth." I think that's a bunch of BS. Because truth is truth, because number one, that it affects everyone equally. You can have a personal truth if you want one, but the truth will make you free. And it frees us in the fact that, first off, it has already freed us. Jesus being the truth has freed us at the cross, but the information of it frees you from judgment and guilt and places this planet in a possibility zone for the future that has never been dreamed of by this planet. When the terminal generation is realized, it ain't coming. That generation after generation is going to succeed, immediately after the next generation, after the next generation. We'll start thinking in broader terms.
Right.
And we'll start thinking in gospel terms.
And we'll start thinking in more...
Which is vitally important.
And we'll think in more creative terms, as exemplified by this music. I mean, you talk about a song that could make the world free, and that explains the perfect articulation of the gospel. What's the song called?
Called "So I Could Redeem All."
So I could redeem all. Now, this is going to be on your new album that you're going to Nashville tomorrow to record, right?
Yes, that's right. I'll just be recording over the weekend, so it'll be a bit of a smaller scale production than what I've done before. I don't have a producer, so I'm producing myself. And I didn't intend to do this, but it's just something I thought. I'm here on the spur of the moment. I'll go, and there was some studio time available at the place where I usually record, so I'm going to go up there and get these songs out, which I'm really, really glad about.
And are you going to be available next week to give us a full report?
Yes, I sure will.
All right, well, we can't wait for that, and we can't wait to hear some studio versions of these things. This, of course, was recorded
it's unbelievable,
in Michael's house.
My goodness.
So,
yeah.
I can't imagine a better birthday present for the Grand Poobah than that. But thanks, Kate.
It's been amazing.
We appreciate you. We love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
Kate.
All right.
Hey,
safe travels,
bye.
Honey.
Hey, bye.
Okay. There's Kate Benham. Wow. All right, continuing on now on the birthday celebration of Michael Williams, his 59th year in the books. Let us go to a place he knows oh so well, to beautiful Kelowna, British Columbia. Let's go to Ann McMillan. Yeah. Ann!
Hello, Glenn, and hello, Mike.
My gosh, Ann.
Say happy birthday to Ann. Say happy birthday to Michael.
I would sing you a unique song, but given my voice, the words are, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael, happy birthday to you.
Oh, Anne, it is so good to hear from you. And thank you for calling in and for those birthday wishes. You know I love you.
I love you too, Mike. And I was just thinking, you know, I think you were probably about age 35. When I first met you and was privileged to hear you speak.
Saskatchewan. Did he have hair back in those days?
He had a bit.
He had a bit of hair.
He actually did have quite a bit.
Yeah, we go back a long way, Ann. Yeah. Goodness gracious, thank you for calling in. It's been an incredible journey, that's for sure.
That's right.
And when's the last time you heard Mike live?
Oh, gosh. I guess the last time you were in Kelowna.
About 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
now lives over in Kelowna. She was over near, you were near Calgary, weren't you?
I was in Regina when I first heard
Regina, yes.
Yeah, but
I've been
out of Kelowna for 20 years, but it was prior to that I heard you in Saskatchewan. So,
goodness.
I've been trekking along with Mike for a few, we can say decades now.
you sure have, hon. It's been an amazing journey. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
I didn't
want
to pass up the opportunity to wish you a happy birthday.
No, you have delighted my heart calling. Thank you.
Well, and it's appropriate, Ann, because you represent all those folks in Canada that have been with the Gospel Revolution, as you said, for decades.
Yeah.
And it must thrill your heart to understand that this message is now going out via the webcast and the CDs, of course, but the webcast every week. To over 160 countries, and it basically started in Canada.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our Mike is our claim to fame with the gospel. So we're claiming them.
Well,
you're naming them and claiming them.
Ann is one of the original gospel revolutionaries, and my goodness, we thrashed through every little thread of the gospel, and goodness, some of those meetings and the question sessions and the angry people. Oh, goodness, we could write a book together, Ann.
That's for sure. Anyways.
Thank you so much for calling, Ann, and don't be a stranger to the webcast. It's great to hear
from you. Yeah, I catch you on the archives, but I didn't want to miss this opportunity for sure.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart.
All right.
Okay.
We'll talk to
Bye-bye.
You soon. There's Ann McMillan from Kelowna, British Columbia. And and the surprises and the birthday greetings are not finished yet. Now let us go to our senior Southern California correspondent, the king of comedy. He's dubbed himself Chemo Boy recently. Please welcome online. He was there at the summit via video Skyping. Please welcome online Richard Mull. Richard!
Hello, Glenn and Michael. Happy birthday, young man.
Hey, Richard.
Thank you. You're welcome. I called in because very quickly I want to share something before I read something that I wrote for your birthday. But today I was over at the treatment center, where I go to have my blood checked to make sure I can continue my treatments without, you know, being anemic or whatever. And there was a young lady over there, and she's probably in her early 30s. Her name is Tracy. She has three children. Underwent colon cancer surgery here several months ago, and has been on treatment now for, maybe 3.5 months. And I saw her, and usually when I see her, she's pretty up and smiling and happy. And I saw her today, and she was very sad. So I had to ask her what was wrong. And she said, "It's you." I said, "Why? What's wrong with me?" And she says, "Well, I heard about your situation, and the fact that the first round of chemo didn't work and your cancer got worse and you got a lot of pain in your bone and you just haven't been able to get the right treatment to make it go away, and they tell me mine's gone basically and I've got a few more treatments and I'm done." She says, "I feel so sorry for you." I says, "No, please don't. You have a family and children, and I'm just so happy that everything's working out for you." And she just couldn't believe that I was so up about all this, that it didn't bother me. And it really touched my heart that she was concerned about me. And I almost broke down and cried in front of her, but I didn't. I just encouraged her and told her that things would get better, and no matter what, that I belong to the Lord. So it's in His hands, and He's using the doctors whatever way. So I wanted to share that because it was kind of special to me today that somebody was concerned about me.
Oh, wait, there's a lot of people concerned about you, and you have a family, too.
I know that clown.
And we are pulling for you big time.
And in the cancer center, this was a first for me. Of all the people that I've met in there over the months that I've been going there, it really touched me in my heart. And her sister was there too. And her older sister brought her in, and she was so happy to see me too. And they really encouraged me. But you know, I just during the summit last week, I really was encouraged while the summit was going on to write something for Michael for his birthday, because I knew his birthday was coming up. And I know he's been claiming to be 60, and he's really not even 59 at the time, but we'll give him that. We round up, okay? Except where taxes and bills are due, and then we round down.
This is spoken like a true accountant.
So here we go with something I wrote for Michael for his birthday. It's called Mr. 59. Happy birthday, Mr. 59. You're over the hill and way out of line. You're ancient, archaic, way too old, but oh so precious like refined gold. A man of the gospel, simple and pure, searching for truth, pursuing it for sure. Righteous, holy, and without blame, shunning evil, fortune, and fame. Trusting in Christ, following your heart, the only way to begin, the best place to start. We, the revolutionaries, one and all, salute you this day, Mr. Big and Tall. Happy birthday to the Grand Poobah of the Gospel Revolution. Kimo Doe, August 16th, 2011.
Thank you. Happy
birthday, Michael.
Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome, sir. We love you, Michael. You know that.
You know, the funny thing about this, all of this stuff, is that when anybody in this group cries, it's because we're so happy we don't know what to do with ourselves.
You're darn right.
It really is just amazing. And, you know, I certainly understand why someone who just met you, Richard, would have such a heart for you. I mean, Richard, I know Richard. There's people who know of Richard. But I know him. He's been a personal friend of mine for many years, and he touches everybody. It doesn't make any difference whether it's the cashier. It just doesn't make any difference, and he does it in such in he does it in the dough way. So
in the dough way,
I'd have to go into whole thing to explain that. I'm not going to do it. It's my pet name for my buddy.
Well, all the summit goers will testify the fact that there was a lot of laughter that weekend in Houston, but much of it came from our participant on Skype, Richard Mull. And I mean, you guys, the video will be available to get from the summit, and you'll see Richard. I mean, Richard was right in the circle. Ray set up
biggest smile in the house.
Yeah, and the king of comedy was doing his thing at the summit via the video link. And well, Rich, how you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. I'm never giving up. I'm going on to phase two of this thing, chemo next week. The new thing is that they found a blood clot in my leg, possibly from the surgery back in March. So they're working on that now with blood thinners. So my blood's so thin, if I cut, I just bleed out. So I got to be real careful and carry some tape and some bandages with me everywhere I go.
Well,
just to make sure, you know.
Be careful shaving.
Oh, and not only that, but this new blood thinner thing, you bruise very easily. So if you just bump your arm on something, the next day you've got a huge bruise on there. So I've got to be careful not to, you know, to get tapped out on anything. I just got to walk around stuff and take my time. But other than that, I feel pretty good.
Then you can claim spousal abuse. So all those bruises.
Yeah, got to be careful too, because sometimes verbal abuse is so loud that it does bruise the skin.
You know, hearing Richard, Michael, some folks might hear him and say, well, he's in that grieving stage of denial. What would you say, knowing the situation very intimately?
Well, I do know the situation very intimately, and I can guarantee you that there is no denial in this man. He fully embraces the possibilities of where this is going, but it is the ability that the gospel has placed in him to know that he is part of something way bigger than himself. And even as Paul said, whether he lives or dies, it is unto the Lord. And that is very true with Richard. And we want him around. We're certainly not going to say the Lord took him or anything if anything should happen. But I can guarantee you that there is no denial in this process. The gospel is so powerful, folks. The gospel is so powerful. It supports your heart in things that you just cannot possibly imagine. The losses, the griefs, and the sorrows of this world, the bad news, the information, doctor's reports, and all of these things, somehow the scope just gets larger. I'm not telling you that the situations are different. It's just, it keeps you from getting tunnel vision about your situation. The scope widens out, and you see everything in a broader perspective.
Even the good stuff you see in a broader perspective.
Even the good, everything is just a broader perspective. It's widescreen now. You know, we're not on the little 10-inch TV set that people had many years ago, but man, we're on CinemaScope.
Well, and the vital and logical and rational mental disposition is, folks, everybody is on their way out. That's the reality. And we had this pastor from Central Florida here, Zachary Timms, that was just found dead in a hotel room off of Times Square in New York. He's 42 years old. His large congregation in Apopka, this big charismatic church, they weren't expecting their pastor to die, let alone die of apparently a drug overdose. And the rationality that you're hearing from Richard Mull is something that everybody can experience if the gospel is forefront, like, you know, the religious Jews put the phylactery literally on their forehead when they pray, because that is the type and foreshadowing was put it between as frontlets between your eyes. That's a foreshadowing of this gospel. And Richard, I mean, not only are you moving on, when's your next teaching session at your company?
This Friday, day after tomorrow.
This Friday. And so on this Friday, you will be sharing directly the gospel, not only in person with your coworkers, but with members of your company nationwide, or is it worldwide?
Yeah, it's nationwide now. Nationwide. We're going to try to go worldwide eventually.
Well, we can't wait to see the videos of those, my friend.
Yeah, I've sent a copy of the DVDs so far that I have to Michael, and I'm sending a set off to Jeff tomorrow, because I had to preview one of them because they pieced it together kind of incompletely or kind of incorrectly, and I have to fix that. It's rather long, too, but the other two are like 35, 40 minutes at the most, and one's like 30 minutes, so those are good. I looked at them, and they look good.
Well,
I'm very surprised on the quality and everything, so I'm happy with them.
Good.
I don't know what happened. I had to look at them to see what happened during those sessions, but now I know, and we'll go on to something different.
We understand how that works.
Okay, well,
Richard,
I'm going to let you guys go and get on to other things, and if somebody else wants to call in. But again, happy birthday, young man, yesterday, and
thank
you. Glad you enjoyed it. And I will send you a copy of Mr. 59 by email.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And
I love you, Richard.
And that will go on the website as well. Thanks, Richard.
Okay. Well, by the way, Michael, did you get the card today, or didn't it come yet?
I did get it. It's yes. And again, it was pure dough all the way down the line.
Well, I won't embarrass you by asking you to read it on the air. So enjoy.
Thank you.
Well, see now
okay,
now you've piqued our curiosity, of course, Richard. Which is
well, you're gonna have to get that out of him because I'm gone. I'll talk to you guys
all
later.
All right. Good night, Richard.
Okay. Bye. Okay, bye.
There's Richard Mull, the king of comedy. The Kimodo, our senior correspondent from Southern California. It's a birthday celebration. Michael Williams, 59 years old, and we have now online, the ambassador, who's staying up late to greet Michael Williams on his 59th birthday. Let us go to Ted Winsett in Decatur, Alabama. Pastor Ted!
Well, good evening.
So good to hear from you.
Well, hey, Ted.
Happy birthday to the kid there.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, I'm loving the singing tonight, man. That's good.
Yeah, that'd be good to have in your church, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my sons make music, and they sing me that same birthday song on my birthday. I just told them to hold it for somebody that needs it.
Hey, listen, you know, Kate will come to Decatur, Alabama. She's going to South Africa, you know.
Do what now?
Kate will come to Decatur. She's going to South Africa to sing the gospel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
She's just waiting on the invite.
Well, hey, there's a couple of people I've been wanting to invite, so and I haven't forgotten it either. So, we're kicking things around, see what all I can put together.
All right.
So, taking a little time. You know, I'm still working with some, what's the word, legalist?
Yeah, that would be a good word.
That's about the only thing you can say. Huh?
Ted, we're all working with some legalists, baby. We're all working with some legalists.
I tell you, Ted, if I were to describe the ministry of Ted Winslet, it would be called patience. I've talked to this man. I know where he stands. I know where he stands in what he believes, and I know where he stands in his situation. And I tell you, he's just, if you want, I think we're going to have to put a picture of Ted Winslet in the dictionary next to patience and just have a picture later.
Yeah,
so.
That would be a good one. Oh, and by the way, I did get to talk to Richard a few months ago, and I really enjoyed talking with Richard.
Yeah.
He is just he's encouraging, you know.
He's a darling.
Yeah. I talked to a friend of yours, Mike, out of Georgia this past year, and all I can remember was her name was Mary. And I don't remember the last name, but she's...
I don't know.
...anxious for you to get in somewhere in this area or whatever so she can come back and hear you.
Oh, wonderful.
And a fella out of Tennessee, not too far from here, maybe 2 hours, called and said if ever you can make it here, he'll sure be here. And some friends of yours down from Coleman, Alabama, came to visit us. One weekend, two young men and their mother, and so they're sitting already also.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's, you know.
You might have a family reunion or something.
Let's make it happen.
That's what these things are. These things really are just family reunions. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's nothing but fun.
That's what makes it good, man.
It's nothing but fun.
But anyway, I want to wish you a happy birthday, and I'll get off of here. I do have some questions coming up. Maybe I can talk to you on the phone sometime, and I'll call in one or two.
Sure, anytime.
And, I appreciate it very much.
Well, we love our Pastor Ask segments. So.
It's not that I need your help. Okay, yeah. Yes, I will be calling you, I am sure. And Glenn, thank you for having me on.
All right, Ted.
We're here for you, Ted.
Good night.
Give our love to the missus.
Good night.
Yes.
There's Ted Winsett, the ambassador and pastor of the Gospel Revolution. That gives us an opportunity, folks. So Ted talking about all these people that want Michael to come to the Southeast. Just go to gospelrevolution.com and you just page down, and there is a section called Invite Mike, and it is not difficult. Just do it. Just get in touch with Jeff at the office, put it together, and all of a sudden, Mike will be in your living room, and you'll have a family reunion, gospel revolution style, which is just the way. Oh, Jeff reporting that it was Mary Kustra, and in Georgia, and Jackie Barnard, of course, in Tennessee, and from Coleman, Alabama, Barry Laney and his son and their mom.
Oh my gosh.
So there you go. Jeff Robertson reporting in live from Lake Kanasovsky.
Awesome.
Did you have a happy birthday?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just, you know, if it gets any better, I'm not sure what I could do.
you realize you said that the 59 years was the pinnacle of it was the summit in your living room.
It really was.
Yeah.
I mean
that's quite a statement. That's quite a statement.
I mean that. I could take all of this, whether it's the good, bad, the ugly, and everything in between. And I'm telling you, the summit that we had here, for me was just a very crowning moment for life itself for me. And, I come out of that summit, with such a confidence,
yes,
about the gospel. I think, the number one thing I walked away from was confidence. Because I got to see that, with or without me, these folks are going to persevere, and they are going to share, they are going to declare the gospel, and they're going to be relentless about it. And from this point on, I'm along for the ride, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Well, that's a great definition of the power of God, the power of the gospel. It's relentless. All the garbage that has occurred over the last couple millennia is literally just like a dust bunny. I mean, it's nothing in terms of eternity. And we know people are freaking out around the world right now. I met with a couple gentlemen today that are kind of like yourself, Michael. They are the Ancient of Days. They're in their late 50s, early 60s. And they don't understand the gospel yet. I've shared it with them. But they don't understand it. And they are literally in such a point of stress about the economy and their business and their financial situation. And listen, we're not denying that there's some serious challenges ahead.
Right.
But it's just, here's what happens, exactly how you described it, Michael. It gives you a panoramic, the gospel gives you a panoramic view of not only our current situation, but of history. And
absolutely. It places you in perspective in the big picture. And, you know, I'm sitting in my home here right now, and anybody that's been here knows exactly where I'm sitting. And my place is carved out in this universe, and it's in a little corner here in this house that is just, to me, it's my place. It's heaven on earth. As I sit here and I enjoy my home, it's not a large home. It's just over 1,700 square feet. And my best friend, Chris Zumbalin, came down and installed a beautiful backyard for me. With a waterfall and a pond, and I really enjoy this, but I have no clue whether this fall I'll be able to stay in this house or not. And but the amazing thing is that that's okay, because this house and all of the efforts that Chris put into putting in this backyard, somebody's going to enjoy that if I don't get to. But in the big picture, it's just not a deal, and we'll see what happens. But that's just the reason I share that is because I want people to understand that the power of the gospel literally does put the wide scope on things, and it helps you to not allow a moment in time to determine who or what you are or what your destiny is. You determine what your destiny is. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul and the master of your fate. And don't get bogged down. Don't let life and the lack of the gospel being in the heart cause you to get tunnel vision. I have been there, and tunnel vision, where you can only see one thing, is one of the most dastardly things that can happen about life.
No doubt. And the only way that we understand, folks, and that we can recommend as we close this particular webcast, the only way that we can recommend to stay out of that tunnel vision is to stay in the gospel. How do you stay in the gospel? You listen to Kate Benham songs. You talk about it the way that Richard and Pastor Ted were talking about it. You listen to the webcast. You listen to CDs. You invite Mike. You think about it. You talk about it. You share it. You get it out of your mouth. You get it as between, as frontless between your eyes, meaning in your head. And you will see, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
You, that's all you have to do. And that panoramic vision, will just happen stealthily, as Jackie Barnard put it so eloquently and perfectly. It will cause you to be saved, to have your mind renewed, your soul cleansed.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful thing on this Wednesday evening to recommend around the world. Get the gospel into your head on a regular basis, and that's all you have to do. You do that, God's not going to be any more pleased with you, but you're going to know more and more and more that God is pleased with you. You're going to understand that the law has been fulfilled, that you were included in the redemptive work at the cross. And it will have the emotional and intellectual and mental effect that it is intended to have. That we can guarantee. We can't guarantee financial blessings. We can't guarantee physical health. We can't guarantee social well-being or your marriage being healed or your kids being perfect. But we can guarantee emotional and mental progression because of this gospel. And that's a very, very powerful thing on this August 17th evening. All right, birthday boy. Let's do it again next week.
Why not?
Good stuff. We want to thank our callers tonight, Greg Amberge from Ohio, Carla Barton from Florida, Kate Benham from Australia via Houston, Ann McMillan from British Columbia, Richard Mull from Southern California, and Ted Winsett from Alabama. Also want to thank Jeff Robertson for being Johnny on the spot. With the information and for doing everything he's doing as the administrator and the Secretary of Defense of the Gospel Revolution, and of course the very patient, talented, and handsome engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire, Sean O'Halloran. Happy birthday, Mikey!
Thank you, Glenn. Love you, and all of you guys. Thank you so much. You make life worth living, and it's been an amazing 59 years, and let's go for a few more.
Here's to another 59, and until next time, Carla, get that tea and honey ready, honey. I am on my way home. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!